I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Information influences our capabilities, our opportunities, our interests, and our potential. But we are not in control of this information, and are influenced by those who control it. A movement is underway to move these controls and influence to the user. What is possible when we are connected and in control? This is the quest. This is the emergence.
Welcome to The Emergence, a podcast about asking the question, what is possible? We are connected and in control. This is J. Paul Duplantis, and this is what I'm going to consider a freestyle episode, a kind of riffing on an idea. And I thought I would take advantage of a walk in my community in Avondale, Arizona, to talk about some ideas. And the main idea for today's episode, or ideas, are the ideas of information, awareness, and context. And really it boils down to experiences, because what is information other than experiences? We consume, we create, and we share. So that's pretty much all the principles of everything that we see and hear are just experiences. John Dewey, who was a popular educator and philosopher, would talk about personalizing these experiences for education, which I do think is important. The reason for this podcast is I believe that we're losing an opportunity, the potential, to really tap into grabbing these experiences and contextualizing them for ourselves as individuals, as opposed to what everybody else sees. And this whole notion of how pretty much we'll search and browsing and social is set up, a lot of it has to do with popularity, the popularity of these experiences that are collected and shared. And it just seems like there's a lost opportunity to really dig into what matters to us most and what can help us grow and become more. It's experiences. I mean, from the beginning of time, it's how we've taken these experiences and we've learned from them, and theaters of education and learning, books, then radio and TV, and then the internet, and where we are now, and Web 2.0, on more of the social connection. And when I really think about it, is the opportunity is lost because these realities of experiences are rendered for us now more than they ever have been. And this collectivized view of the world is something that is, I don't know if I'd necessarily say it's dangerous in certain applications. If it keeps on going the way that it's going, it could be. Because we're highly influenced, and we've always been influenced from day one, believe me, there's no doubt about it. We've always been influenced with the information, or lack of it. Even before communication technology of any sort, we were influenced by leaders withholding information, giving us information that is selected that's going to benefit them, as opposed to benefiting us individually. So it's always been about manipulation of these experiences. But I guess the thing that I have right now, my point, is that we have an opportunity like no other time in the world, because we have an incredibly powerful connection. Technology on our mobile devices, we're able to connect with each other like no other time in the history of the world. But this connection is highly centralized. So the experiences that are shared are taken through this filter to some degree, and really doesn't allow us to, when you think of the word digging for the truth, it's not allowing us to hold that spade, to hold that shovel. We're not digging for the truth as much as the truth has been rendered for us. You know, and one of the reasons why I wanted to do this while I was on a walk is because, you know, you're out here in nature and you're experiencing things. It's really kind of gives you an appreciation of what you can learn from your surroundings and what is possible. So I always like to think, because I actually consulted for a VR company at one point, and through Timefire and their virtual world of Hypatia, and I did a demo and there was a virtual tree in there, and I was just struck by that. You know, I see trees here, right? Little orange grove. This is just right in my community. And my understanding of a tree is going to be different than your understanding of a tree. I mean, if you're a botanist and I'm just a casual walker, you're going to have a different lens on that than I will. And that's good. But the thing is that in these environments where we're going into with artificial intelligence and AR and VR, there's a lot of opportunities for us to really have an appreciation for these experiences that we're connected with. Something as simple as a tree, where we could layer on other people's context of what they know, and it could show in our view. Now, the problem with the way that the internet is now, this connection, is that it's highly centralized. So the decisions of what information is going to really be pulled through there is going to be more of the work of the collective view than your individual view, because we don't really have those tools to be able to dig, to find the person that has knowledge of a tree that would really resonate with us, that would want to make us learn more about it. You know, Google, you go search for a tree, and that's great. You're going to have all these different views, but are these views something that is really, that really speaks to our interests, to our potential? Because if we could find somebody that had a unique view on something such as a tree, that could inspire us to want to engage at a different level, to have an appreciation for that tree, to have an understanding of it, to really want to drive us, to push us, to want to learn, then that could be a really positive thing for us. But again, these tools are seriously not created to help us dig. Now, when you're talking about search, then yes, we can do Boolean searches and we can really craft a long string of keywords to be able to find the information. But not everybody really knows Boolean. And really, should they, to be able to render these realities, render these experiences that really speak to them? Is it really necessary for them to have a specialty to be able to find these experiences that really speak to themselves, that really just can engage them at a different level? So there's a couple things with this. One is the fact of the way that technology is now, with these experiences are attached inside the application itself. So that's one of the things, and one of the technologies I follow, Solid Pods with Tim Berners-Lee, is that the whole idea is to take all of our experiences, all of our data, and separate it from the application. So when you go and visit Facebook, then that data is yours. That data is not Facebook's. And so every time you go to Google, you go to Facebook, you go to Microsoft, when you're accessing their silos of information, you're granting permissions for that to be property, your experiences to be their property. Now, there's some other new technologies coming out, DuckDuckGo for search and Brave for browsers, that are promising better opportunities to be able to protect our data, but it's not really a universal construct that these experiences are ours. So there's two sides of this. One is legally, I do believe we need to have data rights. These are our rights. The data is ours. It's not the actual silos. Because we don't have the tools to reinforce that. We don't have the legislation to really reinforce that. In Europe there has the GDPR, which is really starting to speak to that. But that's something that needs to be a major element of this, is use the law to be able to help us protect our experiences, the things that we learn, and the things that we can discover. Okay, so what Google does is that they take these, and Facebook and all the social platforms, they take these implicit behaviors of where we visited and what we've done on the web, and then they use that to feed us more advertisement and other experiences. Well, that's not necessarily something that I've said I'm specifically interested in. It's just things that I've done. So everything that I do doesn't mean everything that I want to learn. It's just it's really seems like that's a road that can just take you into this loop. So you have just assume that we get these protections of experiences that we create, consume, and share are ours, and we can have the measure of law be able to enforce it. So if somebody takes advantage of the information of these experiences, then they can be held accountable in the court of law. Let's assume that is a reality, and we eventually get towards there. Then let's assume that we can have a separation of our data and the application, so that everything, whether it's our Fitbit, our Nest thermometer, thermostat, or any IoT devices that we're operating, or anything that we're doing on the web, is ours. So we've got this data, we've got these personal online data stores, whomever creates it. And that's an important note. I want to make sure you know that. These personal online data stores, they have to be neutral. We have to be able to move them around. If we're not happy with where our data is stored, we need to be able to go to another place so that data is always ours. That is the principle of SOLID. Hopefully they hold to that, because if we can't take and make that from all of our experiences portable and then store it in any application we want, or store it in any data store that we want, then we're back to square one, where we're trapped in a silo and they're holding our experiences hostage. So there is so that's extremely important, is at these data stores. So we've got the legislation, we've got the ability to separate the data from our applications. And then the third part of that is really building the tool set on top of these frameworks to really truly allow us to dig for information, to give us the tools to be able to render our experiences, our realities. And that's something I've been battling for a long time. And it's one of those things, a lot easier to think than actually do, because I've tried to build these tools. I'm actually trying to build another set of tools right now. And I'm telling you, it's just a lot. It's just, for me, it's very difficult, because I'm so personalized with it. I'm so into it and studying it. So the point is, there's going to be great people out there that are going to build these. And it's tough, because you want to be able to build a tool set that allows people to have the freedom and the flexibility to render, but you don't want to make it get so complicated that they're not going to do it. It's a nuanced thing, and it is tough. But here's the thing. One of the reasons I don't think these have really been built, because we don't have the framework. We don't have the protections. We don't have the legal framework to where if somebody does take our information, we can sue them. And because we haven't declared data rights as an individual right, which we should. I think it's a, just like a human right, our data, our experiences, because in the past, these have not, we haven't had to worry about that, you know, and the 19th century, 18th century, 20th century, we really haven't had to worry about our data being able to be sold, not to this scale at all. So the biggest part of this is, where can we go moving forward, creating awareness of all these things with the legal framework for our rights, fighting for these data stores. I don't know if it's going to be a solid pod is going to be the only thing. Actually, I think it should be a number of different applications that stores our data. And then building a community of developers harnessing these technologies to give us the tools to help us render our information, our create awareness of what's around us and provide the context, not based off of popularity. And that's my thing, is that, you know, popular is fine, okay? So you know, you go to Google and you search for George Washington and the top result is a Wikipedia article. But there's also millions and millions of other articles in that search that if we had better tools and we had more control over our experiences, we could find things that just rock our world. And that's something I've been chasing for a very long time, and I haven't been able to build it. I've talked about it enough. Ask anybody that knows me. I've been fixated on it. But just and the thing is, with the oncoming onslaught of VR and AR and AI, what could we do? So when we search for something and we have the tools to really dig, and my example of the tree earlier is that it sounds kind of silly that, what, a tree? How interesting is that? Well, you get a kid that's in high school that's graduating, and maybe they find an experience that somebody else on the other side of the world was able to explain the essence of a tree or the purpose of having an environment to help that tree grow, really to get them at a core level, for them to be able to relate to the significance of that tree or anything around you, really, for that matter, any information. And but it's right now the views of that tree is based on popularity. It's based off of what everybody else thinks. So my thoughts on this, we build these tools to really dig into all these other experiences that are on this planet Earth and tune those to really what captivates us, what interests us. And then when you build that framework, you build these tools, they're allowing us to dig for the truth and dig for the things that interest us. Then this connection could be a healthier connection for society in general. And that's where it gets to, is when we build these tools like this, and one of the big things that I argue for is the notion of labor and what these dual tools could allow for opportunities for people that normally would not have opportunities. Okay, so you think of people on welfare, you think of people that are have conditions to where they're not able to be contributors in the workplace. Well, when you build these tools that is actually, you can have somebody that's a paraplegic that they can share a skill set that normally they wouldn't be able to do, but if they had a skill set that they were able to use through a connection to somebody else and they found value in that skill set and they were able to be paid, or maybe they would actually do that for different individuals or different companies. It's an exchange, this value of exchange. If we build the right tools, we can start to lift and create an exchange of value beyond only monetary. But again, we're not going to do it, I don't believe, under a centralized control framework that we have right now without data rights. So that's pretty much what I wanted to talk about: information, awareness, and context, and the tool set, and how we get there. It's, you know, as I start to engage with other people and interview them or talk to them, have a dialogue with them on my podcast here, The Emergence. Hopefully I'm going to be able to learn some new things from them, and they can give me their opinions, and we can all learn together. But that's basically the framework is what can we do to be able to create awareness of data protections, separating our data from the application. You know, that whenever we go to Google, whenever we go to Facebook, we go to Twitter, Instagram, that's our data. It's not their data. And then building that tool set on top of it to help us dig for the truth as individuals, not as a mass of people. And then as we come back stronger individually, then we'll be better as a whole. And so that's why I want to engage people with on this podcast. If anybody knows of anyone that would like to actually share their ideas, share their technology, share their thoughts, that's what I want to do. I really want to get out there and engage with people around these ideas. And I'm very excited about it. And I'll continue to do additional episodes like this, ideas off the top of my head for good, bad, or the ugly. So I thank you, everybody, and we'll talk to you on the next episode.